Welcome to LeagueCast.
Blinded by the shadow of your light path. Headshot.
Let's go. For
welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 472 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nathan King Cooper. Joining me is Adrian Frost, Rock Arts.
Hey, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday indeed. We
happy
are...
normal time we record the show.
Happy normal time, definitely. Hey, on this week, we've got a couple new patrons. We've got some LeagueCast news. We've got quite a bit of new news, to go through. We've got one starry. Are we going to have a bi-weekly?
I don't know. I think we have a lot of emails. We might just pass this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little unfortunate leak in the competitive league section roundtable, and then we're going to close it out with those said emails. But first, Aiden, how was your week?
My week is good. I played a lot of league. I've just fluctuated between D3 and D4 a bunch. I think my one account is D3-0, and my other account is like mid-D4. But I'm having fun playing League. It's good. I win lane, I would say 80% of the time is Tom Kench, and I win about 50% of my games. So life is good as long as I don't play too many games in a row. So I've been enjoying it, though. Tom Kench is fun. I'm still putting out a guide. Turns out it takes longer to make a guide than I originally thought, so that'll be out probably sometime next week. I have like a 12-page fucking script that I wrote that I need to record. So that's like what's taking
gonna be crazy.
The longest.
Wait, he's a scripter. He's a Tom Kench scripter.
Yeah. No, I haven't written that much since like university for stuff.
Yeah,
it's like 5,000 words of just shit. So
is it like talking about a lot of matchup stuff? Like specific stuff?
There's like zero matchup stuff. It's just like mostly like how to play him and stuff like that. And when
that's
he
awesome.
Does you.
It's wild how like long you can go on just something you know about randomly. Like if I wrote like a strategy guide for the King.
Yeah.
Shit would be so long. Just like covering all of these stupid minute details that don't really matter, but you're like, yeah, but you can get two more gold out of the encounter this way.
Yeah, and there's just like little things that you don't even think about like mentioning, but like they are important things. Like one thing that I haven't even talked to anyone really about, but no other skill shot in the game that I can think of works like Tom Kench's Q in the fact that it has a cast time, right? Where you're locked out of shit. But if you hit something, that cast time is ended prematurely.
That's
right?
Wild.
Because if you melee range Q it, you're in a short little animation. But if you full range Q it and you miss, you're in a, like, I think it's like 0.7 seconds if you're like full range Q.
Yeah.
But if you like melee range it's like 0.3
seconds. It's because it needs to hit confirm for the W scoop.
Yeah,
it
which
needs
is
to have
like
that time window.
Is there another character that has that though? I don't think there is. Like,
I think that there are other ones that are slightly like that where like the animation time can vary depending on if it hit or not, but I think that his is one of the most pronounced ones and like the longest variances.
Mm-hmm.
Thresh Q is not a good example, but I think it's in the same vein.
Yeah, like you could
Vayne
act
Q.
on Thresh Q. Wait, I guess Vayne Q is kind of like that, yeah. But like you can act on Thresh Q with your Q like as a second part earlier than like if you missed it, but like you can't move input and move commit command, I think, earlier as Thresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which it's interesting, though.
Also,
but it's like,
okay,
just,
so
yeah.
As someone, just a quick question about Tom Kench.
Mm-hmm.
His Q origination point, I feel like, is almost behind him.
It's very strange. Sometimes I try to throw it the other direction, and it like it just, I don't know. It's almost like behind him, I think. It may be in the very center of him, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, he's got, like, the big old belly and, like, he's he's a blob of a character. But, like, I always, almost always hit the Q when it's, like, short to long range.
Yeah.
But when it's, like, omega close, like, they're just sitting inside the full wave trying to not get hit by a Q, it's, like, I'll aim it in the right direction, but it'll hit the minion behind me or inside of me.
Yeah.
That's, like, overlapping on my model. So, I need to play with it, but I think the tongue actually starts like behind him a little bit, or like at the very back of his model.
Yeah, I'd believe that. Like, he has a lot of weird shit, man. Like, I've started looking into, like, bugs that I thought were bugs that are now confirmed bugs. Like, when you apply 3 stacks to an enemy character, there is a 0.5-second window where you can't eat them. Like, shit like that is, like, just very annoying. Where I always thought it was a bug, not human error, because I've done it enough that I'm like, I'm not this fucking terrible at League of Legends. But it's definitely confirmed bugs on stuff like that now, so.
I need to bind something so that I stop accidentally munching minions when I'm trying to munch a champion with 3 stacks.
Yep. Using Tilda to do that is super important, but
it's
I don't really do it. It's so fucking annoying. Yeah.
I think at some point I bound Tilda to something else because it doesn't work for me and I don't remember where to go fix it.
There's also like Tilda now has like a back in the old days, Tilda you had to hold. Now there's a toggle for Tilda for like target champions, which is really nice.
Nice.
So that can help out a lot of players. But yeah, that's really my week. I really didn't do too much other than that. Just streaming a lot on twitch.tv/leaguecastfrost. I've been enjoying that. I did hit my original sub goal to hit to do my Tahm Kench cosplay thing. The costume did get sold out on Amazon, so I don't think I'm gonna just go and buy like a random expensive one. I think I'm gonna wait for it to come back in stock. But then I'm gonna plan full stream.
It was me and all of the other subs. I banded us together and I said, everybody also buy this. And when he does it, we're going to start a Discord call in the video chat. And it's just going to be all of us in our frog costumes watching in one channel together.
Yeah. So I'll put together a day for that stream. Hopefully it'll be fun. I'm also like currently have like a little sub goal going to like do like 1v1 tournaments and stuff. Because I think just like hosting like fun little 1v1s or 2v2s would just be like a fun casual thing to do. So
okay, Aiden, here's the plan. Since I never actually got around to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a preliminary stream to your stream where I finally do my grilled cheese stream.
Hell yeah, that's my boy.
It'll be your intro. It'll be like 15 minutes of me making grilled cheese, and then they'll be done, and I'll say, that's it. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, and then it's
now watch
time.
Aiden win games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my week, though. What about you, Colton?
I haven't been playing a ton of League this week. I mean, maybe 5 or 10 games. I've rotated to mid/top. At some point back, I was playing AD carry. I've played some support. I mean, I'm doing my normal solo queue thing where I think I've got like 140 games and like probably 40 characters within those. I think my highest most played is like 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty standard Colton in solo queue. It's felt pretty awful. Like the games I win lane, I feel like I have no influence. And then the games I lose lane, it's like, cool, that was fun getting camped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I played a game as Tahm Kench against Warwick top, and he took Ignite. Yeah. And I first blood him, and I have the wave, like, frozen at my tower, and he has to run back top because he used Flash and Ignite, and he has no TP. And I've got this, like, frozen wave, and my jungler just doesn't do anything, and then him and the Lee Sin dive me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I'm just like, hey, jungler, like, if you come top, it'll, like, set this. And he just never does. Because we had a fucking, I think it was a Karthus jungle. So he did literally nothing all game. And we lost the game. And I wonder why when you pick characters with zero agency. But anyway, it was just, like, so fucking annoying. So I'm like, this was the freest shit ever if you were just competent in the slightest. We're like, you see a TP-less top laner get first blooded and have a wave in a bad position, and, like, that game's over if you capitalize.
Yeah, like, jungle is the most important role of the game. I don't think I'm being, like, silly about that anymore. Before, I did think I was, like, being a little bit silly about, like, jungle's the only role that fucking matters. But it is probably the only role that, like, matters, I think, for the most part. Like, it's really obvious to see when you have an autofill jungler. And how much they get gapped by non-autofilled junglers. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a game where we had a really good Graves jungle player, and the enemy team had a autofilled support player. And, oh my god, I've never seen a jungle gap bigger in my fucking life. He just, like, quad buffed him. He, like, just kept solo killing him in the jungle. He had, like, infinite ganks, complete, mm-hmm. like, macro, like, objective control. Just jungle is so important, and, like, I always see that role getting autofilled the most. I feel like it's the least popular role, despite being so strong.
It's because it feels fucking terrible to be a jungle
player. That's fair.
Like, people will flame you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get 4 kills top lane, they're gonna say, man, why didn't you gank bot?
Yeah. No, I agree. It's very frustrating, but it's like I really do think it's a very good role right now, especially with like the good characters like Udyr and stuff. Nick will probably talk about those characters on his week.
But aside from that, been playing more Slay the Spire on my phone, trying to unlock all the achievements and unlock all the cards for the decks. I'm like halfway through unlocking all the cards for the Watcher. And I think the only character specific achievement I'm missing is having 25 focus on the defect.
Yeah.
Like I got the 50 strength and the 999 block out of the way. So I just need to, I had a run going, and it's weird that like when I'm playing on my phone, the fucking saving on it is so bad.
Yeah.
Where like it'll say it's saving and like I'll try and start the game and it'll say like syncing your save file for like 4 minutes. And then I'll go in, it'll be like, and it'll place me against the final boss fight from like 3 runs back. Oh, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
I've played 2 full runs as a different character, but suddenly you're sending me back to this run?
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
It's annoying, yeah. But that's about my whole week. I mean, work's been pretty busy. Been doing, like, conferences and a bunch of weird analysis, and then having to go learn new stuff or relearn stuff that I haven't touched since high school.
Yeah.
But it's also wild how, like, little people take the time to actually understand systems. It's like, it's so fucking annoying when you're just like trying to explain like, hey, this is how this thing that you've been working with for 4 years actually works. And they're like, oh, anyway, that's my week. Nick, tell us about your solo queue journey. Where are you?
I'm currently plat 151 LP. It's been a journey. I have probably made some poor decisions for queuing up occasionally recently. sometimes I lose, and then my only goal in life is to lose again. So I'll queue up again, and I know it's bad. I know it's a bad idea, and I fucking rage queue anyway.
Yeah.
I've given up on mid. I don't think I'm mechanically good enough to play that role. I think other people are better, so I'm gonna let them play that. And it's really infuriating to have a jungler completely ignore your lane, whatever lane I'm in. I honestly think like Riot has cursed my account with low LP gains and a repulsion
and bad
to junglers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was,
I get what you mean, man. But go ahead.
Playing a Leona game today. I've been just playing jungle support. Picked Leona, got counter picked Senna, Tristana. It should be pretty easy. We burn their flashes, you know, pretty early. They pushed to our turret all game, zero jungle pressure. We ended up winning that one, but it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what else I can do to put my lane in a more attractive state than, okay, I've got it frozen just outside of my turret with no, like with no summoner spells, and I'm playing, you know, I'm playing Cho'Gath, I'm playing Anivia. Like, I can set up these ganks. I can follow up. We can get that skill for sure. And then it's completely ignored. If I don't rotate, it's my fault. If I do rotate, you know, I get punished by the mid laner who can just 100-0 any minion wave ever.
I feel like what you're describing is something very similar that I also deal with a lot. And, like, I had made a comment, Aiden, just watching your stream a couple minutes ago, when I said, like, I feel like I'm playing Zilean when I'm playing Tahm Kench a lot. And, like, obviously they're very different characters, but there's just so much of that feeling of, like, I've done everything to set up the easiest gank or play, and it's, like, right, like, if you have the setup in a right position, and, like, their top laner is a melee character without flash, right, like, if the jungler comes, that's just 100% kill. Like, there's just no way that they walk out of that. But then they just won't come. And it's, like, the same thing with Zilean. It's, like, I'm going to walk up and slow him for 70% for 5 seconds. And I'm going to stun him for 1.5 seconds. And just in case something goes wrong, I can revive one of us under tower.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and it's, like, we have all of these tools. Oh, but you decided to go bottom and gank the Caitlyn Soraka when our team has no CC.
It's not even that for me. It's like, oh, you decided to do another round of wolves.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, dude, it's wild. Thank you, Graves.
Yeah, it's insane how, like, they just, like, don't assess that shit, right? Where it's like, same thing with that fucking Warwick game. It's like, it's a Warwick into Tahm Kench. If he is within melee range of me, we win this fight. Yeah. Because there's no way for him to get out.
Yeah.
He just has to fight and hope he wins it. And, like, same thing for me. And so, like, he's going to win it because he has Ignite. But if you ever show up ever, it's free. Mm-hmm. But you just never show up. It's cool. You gank the bot lane, I guess.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
But, Well, that's Nyx down there.
Exactly. Aiden ganked my lane yesterday when we played some normals, and it was it was heaven. Mm-hmm. The enemy Riven could do nothing to me.
It was wild, dude. Those normal games, we just stomped everybody.
Yeah. We didn't lose any games yesterday. Somehow we got Hecarim, Leona, Yuumi, Nidalee. I forget who the other one was. It didn't matter. We got Hecarim, Leona, Yuumi, and Irv. And it was a very good time. Kind of just chilling there. I don't know if this happened last week or the week before, but I got into my placements again with a prompt 0-3. Lost 43 LP on that. So very unfortunate. I'm still gaining less than I lose despite being up at this point 28 games still. Yeah. So incredibly frustrating. I don't know how to improve my MMR without just winning, you know, 80% of every game that I play.
Have you considered just playing on your Smurf and just like grinding to see how it feels?
Not a great thing to admit, but I don't really take those games seriously. Yeah. I'll just do stuff that I think is going to be fun or that I am curious about trying. But maybe I want to get to Diamond and finish that off. So I can actually play a different game. But maybe once that happens.
Seriously, you guys play any community night games last night?
No. I don't understand, if maybe you played on like a Smurf, you might have better gains, and that might like help you a little bit.
I absolutely think I would. And I don't think I'd have any problems climbing like with that. But I don't know. I want to get this account to Diamond. You know, this is the one that matters to me. So
that's what I thought until I got my other account there, and then my other account got higher than my main. And I was like, oh, it really just doesn't fucking matter.
I know, but I don't know. I have that weird mindset. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I've always had so much more ease climbing on my alt than my main, because maybe it's a mental block in some way. Or maybe it's because I don't own all the characters on my alt, and it doesn't bait me. I don't bait myself into like picking Urgot, even though I play Urgot. But like,
Colton, I think you should play Urgot now. By the way, that champion is fucking busted. Wild. Item Titanic, and like, and it's disgusting. It's wild, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think you could go Titanic into Sunfire, 1v1 any character in the game, but also be the tankiest character in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that's would still lose the game after going 9-0.
Yeah, but I actually think Urgot can 1v9 is the thing.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that I would 1v5, like, I think
1v9
kill their entire team. I would kill their entire team, pentakill them. My team is taking the dragon, and they say, hey, you're Basket Nader / FF. They all agree.
That's just unlucky, then. Aside from that, been playing Runeterra. I beat all the solo labs, which have been really fun. Misfortune was the only one that I really didn't have a lot of fun with. But Lucian was really fun. Hecarim really fun. Honestly, all of them were pretty fun. So that was pretty much my... Oh, I forgot to mention this last week, but Savannah and I finished part 3 of JoJo. So we're on part 4.
Hell yeah.
It was pretty sweet. I forgot how awesome Dio is and that fight in general. So pretty dope. So that is it for me, I believe. Let's hop into the show. First up, we've got two new patrons this week. Shout out to Conrad and Zod. Thank you guys for your support, and we definitely appreciate your financial, you know, contribution to the show.
Yeah.
We had a plays video go live, a top plays video, right?
We sure did.
So that is live. Check it out on either the linked in there's a link in the Sickest Plays channel.
Yeah, and
you can check out our YouTube.
Yeah, and also like everything, all of our like YouTube videos and stuff get posted to we have a YouTube videos channel as well.
Oh, true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it just pings people. It's just nice.
Yeah. So check that out. It's very good. I think that's it for LeagueCast news. Am I right?
I believe so.
Gotcha. We may be planning a tournament in the coming future, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
It's still to be decided, but it's on the mind. So let's jump into the new news. Thank you, Last Samurai, for naming this section. First up is patch 11.5, which is live, boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, first up, Azir. His W Sand soldier damage has been decreased. I don't think he's seen a lot of play in like regular games, but in competitive, he has been pick ban, basically. So, some good nerfs.
Yeah, I mean, if he's playable, he's so safe and like has a strong enough everything. Like,
he scales so hard.
Very few weaknesses where it's like, yeah, he scales super hard, but his early game is still like a bully to a lot of similar characters, like other control mages. And then those that can actually bully him, he can just be a million miles away and farm.
Yeah.
I'm being notified that I did forget the full list of our patrons.
Oh,
sorry
true.
About that. I forgot it was the first show of the month.
It is the first show of the month.
So we'll return to the patch notes very momentarily. Thank you, Mkifius, for the reminder. So shout out to Aaron, Adam, Adarky Owl, Adrian, sadly not Joshua, Antonio, Aodin, Armis, Ashley, Asmo, Atsuko, Banyumi, Bellator, Benjamin, Big Peen Sheen, Blooper, Boats and Bros, Bright Equinox, Brother Dust, Caleb, CB Parker, Chaz, Chris, Clogwater, Coca-Cola, Corey, Courtney, Cowboy, Dowski, but it's actually an Alex, Dan, Daniel, Danny Stormit, Dante Boy, Dapper Dodge, David, Dessa, Devin, Dominic, Dr. Dre, 1223, Dr. Professor Gubert, Dream Villain J, Dylan Walther, probably shouldn't say your whole name, sorry about that, Elliot, some of them I just like go for, you know, Inebriated Otter, Eric,
it's
Evan, Fiery, go ahead.
Sometimes they are two word names, like Inebriated Otter, and then you hit another one that's just an actual regular name.
I know.
Shit, I doxed him.
Foxlo, Franco Tan, Frozen Ninja, Gavin, Gamer Wolf, Grey White, Hardstuck, Heimerdinger One Trick, H Fire, Hungry Italian, I Am 3D Ski, Ian, Isaac, It's In My Veins, Jacob, Jake, Jamal, Jeff, JFK, Who's Quickscope, Jig, John, Josh But Cody, Josh But Not a Josh, Joshua, Justin, Carson, Chaos Reaper, Keegan, Kennedy, Kevin, Kiptario, Kirk, Klon, Conrad, Lacona, Levi, Leviathan, Lil Barnabas, Lil Lorian, Lofi, Lewis, Lucas, Mark, Marshall, Matt, Matthew, Michael, Misa, Mkifius, Molly Moon, Mr. Ginger, Mr. Turch, Mountain Drew, Nathan, Nikoj, Nicholas, Niku, because it's meat in Japanese, Nino, Noah, Orden, Pards Bay, Saigonek, Purple Play Panda, Pike is Support, Raphael, Rattlesnake Jake, Rebecca, Red Lefty, Ricardo, RJ, Ryan, Scarecrow Drone, Scott, Secretly a Josh, Selfius, Shralpy the Gnar, Sodafish, Spartle, Speedy Spike, Stew, Stewart, Sunny, T Hubs, Tanner, The Last Samurai, Thomas, Tune, Tuned Can, Ty, Victor, Womper, Wyatt, Zod, Zachary.
You crushed you did it, man. Also, whew. If anyone is worried about being doxxed by Nick, you can always message me and I can change your name on our thing.
Also, it's just your last name, so
yeah. It's just like whatever you guys sign up with. I always like just use that because cool. So if you ever want that change, just let me know.
Sweet. Thank you to all you guys. We appreciate it a bunch. That's it gets harder and harder to read every month, and we love every second of it.
Exactly.
It is torture that is worth it.
Yes.
So back
speaking
to the patch.
Of torture.
Azir,
Randy's top lane.
His W damage is nerfed.
Yeah. Gregus, they have flattened the cost of his Q, so it used to start off 20 mana less. It's now 80 at all rank, so nerfing his early game lane dominance just a little bit by increasing that cost.
Gregus is a crazy strong character. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been enjoying playing jungle Gregus full AP.
Mm-hmm.
Jax good. Is getting some base attack damage growth.
I'm really worried. They've buffed Jax like tiny like this for a couple patches now.
He's still
are you going to say the thing three times?
What does it say? Oh, jacked up Jax packs. Jacked up Jax packs the max attacks with Trinity. Holy, I almost got it. I fucked up a little bit.
It's just a really poorly written sentence, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to make it a tongue twister, and it's just a bad sentence.
Yeah.
Karma, her Q cooldown is decreased. Poggers.
Nice. Kog'Maw, W bonus damage increased later, giving him a little bit more strength in the late game.
Cool.
He just has to get there.
Master Yi is getting his base attack damage increased. That was a little bit scary. Nick and I played against a funnel comp today. We shut it down pretty hard.
Smashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, every single lane won, and then they just refused to come to Dragons for the entire game. So we had like a 15-minute Ocean Soul, I think. So yeah, hard for them to win. Pike, passive gray health storage has been decreased. Now adds lethality and increases when enemies are nearby.
I'm trying to like make Soul and Pike like less good is the idea.
It's okay. So fucking annoying. I hate it.
Still very annoying, yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, I played in a Nivea game against Pike, and like I would Q E auto him, get my electrocute proc, and like do half of his health and damage, and he just walks behind his turret and comes back having like 90% health. Yeah. He just gets all of it back because he gets the Doran shield and the rejuvenation or whatever that one is called in the second from the last row. And
second like wind.
Second wind. You just can't actually poke him at all. Like if you don't 100-0 him, he's fine. And like he'll out heal ignite even though you can see him for some reason.
Yeah.
It's still procs and he gets the healing. It's so fucking
funny. Yeah.
Anyway. That's my Pike rant. Kiana, W bonus damage increased. R damage increased. What?
Supreme display of talent.
Why are they buffing her?
I think Kiana was in a fine spot, and I think this is going to push her over the edge.
Yeah. Mostly the W change. Like that's.
I think
crazy.
Anyone who knows how to play Kiana is already stomping.
Yeah.
I think so as well.
Cool. Rammus. Wild. Rammus base health growth decrease. That's actually like a pretty big change. It's 15 health a level, which is like kind of insane. You're losing like 200 and something by like level 18. It's crazy.
Yeah. Rel, base armor is decreased. W1 and W2 cooldown are both increased up 2 seconds at all ranks.
Huh. So
interesting.
Yeah. Nerfs for Rel.
Samira. Wait, buffs? Samira buffs? Wait a minute.
Jesus Christ.
Base damage growth increased. Q damage ratio increased at later levels. So giving her a little bit better scaling.
You'll notice that there's zero Camille. Not Camille. Kai'Sa nerfs on this patch. But we'll get to that later.
Interesting. Interesting.
Sejuani, W second hit damage ratio increased. That's cool.
Nice. Seraphine, passive subsequent note damage decay is removed. And the note damage from allies is reduced. Ultimate cooldown has been increased. It is now 3 minutes long at rank 1. That's crazy. Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot. One way to try and balance Seraphine, I guess.
How about this? Her R shouldn't go through allies. Like, it shouldn't extend through allies.
Yeah.
Why does it do that? Why does her R extend through allies? That's so crazy. You can get 5 times the range by throwing it through your team.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You don't have to be 2 screens away.
Yeah.
And you'll still hit someone. That's crazy.
I learned about that this patch, that her R extends through allies. That's insane. Mm-hmm. Like,
it extends through every unit hit.
It's already too long, and when every it goes through people, it is too long, like the extension. But the fact that you can just throw it through your team, like playing where you're supposed to play in the back line, is crazy. Oh.
Yeah, especially with it being that wide. I'd be more okay with it if it was skinnier.
Yeah.
Like, if it was at all difficult to hit, but it's like half the lane anyway. Like, it's so easy to hit.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Shaykoko, W base damage and single target base damage decreased. Now deals bonus damage to monsters. So trying to pull him out of the support role and keep him in the jungle.
What an obnoxious champion to play in the bot lane. It's crazy. I played against one and he didn't do anything. Like, he didn't. Then they lost, but it was just so obnoxious to, like, oh, we instantly just. We can't fight in this lane anymore because we.
The game needs more build diversity. Shaco support should be good.
Yeah.
Should be good. Build diversity is important.
Yeah, so annoying.
Trundle. Q cooldown is decreased by 1/2 second.
Wow.
I don't think
guys, I can't show up to Clash this week.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool. Twitch. They're nerf it, baby Twitch, I think. Passive damage ratio per stack decreased. Our bonus damage increased. Our duration increased. So they're buffing AD Twitch and nerfing AP Twitch a little bit.
So the thing is, like, I don't think this... So he loses, what, 0.5% AP per stack? So, what, 3% AP at max rank?
Mm-hmm.
Or at max stacks? But he gets 5 AD and 1 extra second on his ultimate. I don't know. Like, I don't think that nerfs AP Twitch enough, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't think it buffs AD Twitch enough.
It does very little to make AP worse, but I think it does make AD actually significantly stronger.
Yeah.
Because, like, so not only is it is 5 flat AD, which, I mean, is not huge, but you're imagining that probably several of those crit and that each of those can hit multiple people. So, right, that 5 damage could apply to 5 targets and crit on all of them, and then that's like 60 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I just
still
think it's
going
to be enough to bring him back.
Mm-hmm. Plus the extra second of it, I think, is actually really big in comparison from AD to AP Twitch, because it's like AP Twitch is just get up to max stacks and then press E, whereas AD Twitch is actually about auto-attacking, so nice. It might not be enough.
If I'm not mistaken, Spray and Pray lasts for a duration or for a certain number of attacks. So I don't think the duration is going to help, like, by adding extra attacks. I actually don't know what the duration change is, like, almost at all, I guess. Maybe it helps early when you don't have a lot of attack speed, so you can't, like, consume those enhanced attacks a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think Twitch is, like, not as good. He's not very good AD, so why would you play him AD? Like, AP just is way too much damage. Speaking of champions that do too much damage.
Does it actually... I don't think it caps at a number of attacks.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly certain it doesn't.
Let me...
It used to at one point, but I'm not sure if it does still.
Yeah, I don't think it does anymore. I think it's just...
It used to be like 6, 8, 10 attacks or something like that. But
anyway, yeah, I just checked the wiki and it doesn't say that. Yeah.
Interesting, so maybe it doesn't. Okay.
I feel like it feels that way because your Q attack speed runs out and it feels like your R is over.
Maybe,
But anyway, Udyr, base health growth is down and his aura damage from his ultimate or his R ability Phoenix stance is down by 10 at the first rank and 35 at max rank. So quite significant nerfs to the man... Turtle, tiger, bear, phoenix, monkey.
I don't think it changes anything at all, honestly. Nope. It's 35 total damage, and you're applying it once every 6 seconds before ability haste.
Nick and I were looking into this a little bit. Udyr got his buffs, which increased phoenix stance damage from 240, which it currently is nerfed to now, to 300 back at the end of last year. Like the last end of last year. And that's not the reason why Udyr is OP. Udyr is OP because he abuses the new items very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. It's not going to change much. Viego, my least favorite character in the game, fixed several bugs related to Magias and Possession. Passive turret dodging remove. That's really, really nice. So now when Viego, like, uses his passive on an enemy, he doesn't just dodge turret shots, which is super important. Mm-hmm. So if, like, he's going to, like, live with 1 HP but use his thing, he won't dodge that turret shot anymore, which is really important.
Yeah, very nice.
It's, like, one of 5 things they have to do to make him balanced.
Yep.
There's a lot of other things that they forgot, like Kai'Sa.
Yeah.
They've changed some things with Mirror Mana. So they do it. Basic attacks deal bonus damage. Melee abilities will deal extra bonus damage, and ranged abilities will deal extra bonus damage. But all abilities deal an additional total AD as bonus damage. So there's a lot of bonus damage, and it's reduced by auto attacks, but increased by the actual ability usage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is actually probably going to break some of the characters who already use it. I know we've seen a lot of competitive Blue Cane.
Yeah.
You know, go what, second item Mirror Mana, I think.
Yeah.
So now he just gets extra, like, 1% extra max mana damage basically on everything. So it's going to be kind of nuts.
Yep.
Stridebreaker, the dash range is increased and the damage is decreased. Ginsu's will no longer reward any bonus over 100% to stop Senna from abusing it. Serpent's Fang applies Grievous Wounds to shields now. So it'll reduce any shield gained by the target that you have auto-attacked. 50% for melee champions, 25% for ranged champions. So it's really, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I think Grievous Wounds should just apply to healing and shields, and then they could balance both of them around that. But that's okay. Maw of Malmortius is now 300 gold less, and they have removed the Butcher passive from Black Cleaver. They have re-added it. They have reduced the cost and increased the health. So Black Cleaver should be pretty good this patch.
Yeah, the on-hit, like, movement speed is sick. Then for Maw, it's crazy that Maw is so shit of an item that they can reduce the gold cost of it by 300 gold, and it's still not going to be good.
Yep.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It consumes your lifeline passive, which really sucks. Like,
yeah.
you don't want to go lifeline. You don't want your lifeline to go to Maw if you're in the bottom lane or in the top lane, right? Because you can't build
80 carries go fucking shield bow and melee characters go sterics.
Yeah. So the then there's that weird, like, I don't know, Venn diagram of people who don't use it but also don't build Maw.
The only reason Maw was ever, I think, actually good was that it gave you the bonus stats and spell vamp and lifesteal. And right, like, since they put that on shield bow, there's just no reason to go Maw. And I think that, like, there's not going to be until the numbers on it are crazy.
Yeah. There's been some in-game shop updates as well, but not a lot to go off of. And then a lot of bug fixes and quality of life changes. We have three skins, B-Zahar, Yubi, and B-Maw for Malzahar, Yumi, and Kog'Maw, respectively, and they all have chromas. They look pretty cute. So
B-Maw's awesome. The only one that's actually good.
Yeah. I like B-Zahar.
It's not bad, but it's fucking not bad. Yubi, or like, Yubi is just Yumi in a B costume. Fuck Yumi.
You can have a full
B-Zahar is
now.
Not bad, but
can
B-Maw
you?
Way better.
Yeah. There's B-Teemo and Beekeeper Singed.
I forgot about
you have
the
a full comp.
Skin.
So it's Singed Jungle in that comp?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Maybe it's Teemo Jungle.
Yeah.
Could be, I suppose, yeah.
Cool. So that's it for patch 11.5. We have an item choice deep dive.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. Because we're not going to talk about it for very long because of so it's interesting. It should be interesting. It should just be an interesting thing because they said, hey, our idea was we don't want to have characters have choose the same mythic in over 75% of their games, right? So they pull this thing and they go through every single role and talk about, like, marksman, 21 of these people hit that goal and three of the champions missed the goal. For example, the three champions being Samira, and Vayne are the three characters that missed their goal, right? And they go through every single role and explain it. But this is based off of data that includes Aram and Urf.
Yeah. So I think Aram it's fine to include, but Urf, absolutely not.
Yeah, so it absolutely just, like, fist fucks their data. Like, it's crazy that, like, I don't know. Like, so part of me just wants to go, yeah, they just fucked up and they didn't think about it. But part of me goes, fuck, did they just try to, like, skew their data? Because, like, it's not, like, that much different. Like, someone did, like, a full evaluation, like, doing proper data set. And, like, a couple of the roles, I think, like, Tank goes from, like, 24 hits, zero misses, to, like, 15. I think it's, like, the biggest change. But most of them are, like, pretty close to, like, what they, like, described. But it's just, like, characters like Braum, like, using fucking, like, full
Kraken
tank
Slayer or something.
Yeah, just random shit, right? It's just, like, super disingenuous. I don't think they purposely did it, but, like, it does make me think that if they do try to shape any data, like, in certain ways, but but either way, I don't think there's too much to talk about here, because, like, I mean, it's just literally data that's just fudged. So not too much about that.
Yeah, cool.
They put out a Ask Riot about more bans, because people want more bans, because there's a lot more characters in the game. It pretty well boils down to them saying that adding more bans doesn't increase much to the game. All it does is like starts like allowing you to like ban out like a huge pool of characters. Like they have plus sides and downsides of bans. Like right here, one of them is like plus sides: more agency and control over frustrating characters or bad matchups. Small strategy increase. You can build a sharp team comp. And considering the counters and ban choices, add some depth to the pregame. Sure. And then they get into like the downsides, which completely outweigh the other sides. Like you can just ban out every AD carry if there's 20 bans.
Yep.
And shit like that just ruins the game rather than like even the potential of that happening. Like you'd have to be a coordinated effort from like both teams, but like you could just fuck the bans. If your team banned 10 AD carries, you're fucking the game.
Yeah. Which would be hilarious every game.
Yeah, it just shouldn't be for like a ranked environment, right? Like that's like mainly what it comes down to in here. It's just like there's no need to add more bans, right? Like all of that should be dealt with by balancing characters properly rather than having to feel like you have to ban 20 characters.
I think that you just hit the nail on the head, Aiden, with that statement, and that like the core problem and the people the reason that people are asking for more bans is because there are a lot of characters that in certain players' minds, and like this is a persistent problem, they feel like ruin the game for them. And like we talked about it last week, where like the X character isn't fun to play against isn't really a great argument, and there's a really really hard metric to actually measure in any meaningful way, but the fact is that there's a lot of people that feel that way about a lot of characters, and they say, well, I want to be able to ban those four characters that I absolutely hate and I never want to play against it, right? Like for me, like Yone is one of them. For Nick, like Lee Sin is one of them. Aiden, I know, like you just don't want to fucking play against Urgot Top.
Yeah.
And like you just don't want to. And a lot of that's solved by Riot properly balancing their game. Like I don't think that there's any reason why I should have to ban Kai'Sa, but I have to because her numbers are just so ungodly strong. Like there's plenty of counterplay for that character when her numbers are reasonable, but they're just not.
Yeah.
Like she outdamages AD carries who have a full item on her. And is more mobile. It's wild. So, long story short, we don't need more bans. We need better balance.
Yeah. The only other interesting in this dev blog is that they talk about, like, why isn't there more variety in bottom lane? And they pretty well say, there is, but people don't play shit. Mostly because for the last 8 years, only marksmen went bottom, right? And that's a hard thing to fucking get out of people's heads. Like, the only way that stuff like that changes is, like, watching pro play, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
If someone in your game picks Seraphine bottom, you're cool with it because you know that is a thing that's been played in pro play and you know it's a viable thing. But if someone plays, like, any, like, mage, you're a little bit hesitant and you're just unsure of how stuff like this functions. But there's no rule that marksmen have to go bottom. The problem is it's just that you expect your team to have 80 damage bottom, right? When you're playing support, you know how 80 carries function. When you're playing jungle, you know how an 80 carry support like works and how like how much damage they have to provide to ganks and stuff like that, and you're just very uncomfortable with like changes, right? Like if you have a Syndra bottom, I think Syndra bottom is good, by the way. I don't know how the fuck to support a Syndra bottom, though, when I'm playing support. And that's where that, like, level of uncomfortableness, like, comes from that, like, kind of fucks with the game. So it's not that you can't play marksman bottom. Like, they mentioned this. The highest, some of the highest win rate bottom laners in the game right now are Swain, Karthus, and Heimerdinger. Like, it's just, AD carries will always be prevalent until we get out of this mindset or become more comfortable with playing mages bottom.
Yeah. So personally, like, I really like Ziggs bottom.
Yeah.
And I think it's good. And I think there's a lot of things that are, but, like, it's again one of those things where, like, if you look at it from a numbers perspective, there's like, it's very clear, I think, why it's always going to be bot lane, you know, marksman that has this air quotes lack of diversity, right? Because, like, everyone wants you to pick your default AD carry, like your Caitlyn, your Jinx, your Jhin, whatever it is at the time, the Kai'Sa, like, whatever's strong. And it's like the only role, I think, that you can't really discount if they pick something weird, right? Cause it's like, if you pick a weird off-meta top lane, you're like, yo, I'm gonna Taric top. You know what happens? Your mid laner and your jungler just both say, cool, I'm never going top. And it's just gonna happen. Or they dodge, right? Like, or they're the kind of player that dodge when they see something off-meta, and right? So that's gonna be equal, no matter where that off-meta pick happens, that, like, somebody might dodge. the fact that you have somebody else in the lane with you means that that percentage is going to go up, because the support can't say, like, well, I'll just not play support, really, or, like, just not go bot lane. Like, you kind of can, but it doesn't work the same. And it, like, just fucks over your damage composition as well if it's, like, okay, well, I wanted to play a tank top. Now I can't because we don't have damage. Like, it messes so much up. But, like, again, a weird mid lane pick, you're just like, cool, I won't gank mid. Or, like, I'm going to focus top side or bot side. Or if you, you know, you have a support that's like, instead of playing the classic support role, I'm going to roam all game. I'm never going to be in lane. Like, people will just say, okay, cool, I'll just pick Ezreal and farm.
Well, I mean, we saw that happen with that support Singed player, right? Support, in air quotes. Mm-hmm. And then he got, he got 2 weeks for it, right?
Yeah.
I guess, but, like, even then, though, like, people still do it, and it's more common. Or even the idea of, like, I'm going to stay bottom to, like, level 4 and then roam for 80% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's just like, okay, cool, that's what they'll do. And so few people will consider that, like, a dodgeable thing, but you're just like... Yeah, well, we're going to play Galio, Leona, bot lane, dodge, dodge, dodge.
Yeah.
Well, this is sort of what I was alluding to last week when, maybe it was the week before, I can't remember, but League players being so unwilling to adapt. Like, here's Riot saying that, hey, AD carries aren't the best champions to play in the bot lane role. Here are some with the actual highest win rates. Granted, they have much smaller sample sizes, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and people being unwilling to change that. Granted, I don't want that to be changed. I like that AD carries are in the game. I think they're an interesting class with a lot of nuance that, you know, bring a lot to the game. But like they should be taken away. If you can draft a Lucian or Corki, a Tristana middle and get away with it, why not put Swain, Heimer, Karthus in the bot lane? If you just have a statistically higher chance of winning the game, why not? You know, but
I mean, I think it's like. Like, once again, like, it's way easier in, like, team environments where, like, I think playing Tahm Kench carry bottom with, like, an engaged support, like, Blitzcrank, Pyke, Leona, whatever, is insane. I don't think they can ever win that 2v2, like, versus you guys. But that means you probably have to put an AD carry mid, Tristana, Lucian mid, or, like, Lucian, Vayne, Quinn, whatever top, right? And unless you're getting your team on board to do that, you can't really do the other thing, which is kind of rough.
And you also have to assume that Every solo queue player is proficient enough to play every champion, and all know that's not the case.
Yeah.
Whereas in a pro play, like, obviously they can, but
cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Awesome. Yeah.
So Pantheon Tahm Kench bot lane, Aiden, we playing it?
I'm down to play. I think it's good, man.
Hell yeah.
How do you die in that lane?
That's what I mean. I
how
think
do you die and then you just show up anywhere?
Yeah.
You can gank top and mid at the same time as one lane.
That's so funny.
Yeah. There's just a little bit of news, like, really quick. It says that Riot partnered with Blood Centers of America, and if you donate plasma, you get the LOL Kai'Sa KDA skin.
Ooh. Is that the most recent one or the older one?
I think it's the new one, I believe. I can't tell, though. They both
look very similar. Look like the new one, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I think it's really cool, though. So starting March 5th, if you go donate blood at... I guess Blood Centers of America, you can get this skin until while supplies last. That's really cool. I think it's a really cool partnership. Surprising, we were talking about it on stream a bit. It's surprising it's not like a doctor skin or something like that, but sure.
Yeah. I'm thinking back to like season 2 when they did the first like Nurse Akali and like Dr. Kennen, Dr. Shen. But like this is something that Riot's been doing for a long time, and I'm happy to see they continue to do it. Because like it's one of these things where it's a JPEG.
Yeah.
But you can give people a JPEG for something of real value that's actually going to help the world. And like this is them harnessing their massive power and audience for something good. Like, and they do that fairly often. It's just, again, great to see them continuing to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Cool. We have one star. Colton, you want to read that for us?
Ooh, I think there's one more thing.
Can we quickly talk about this? I had it as a bi-weekly, but I changed it over here because it's like really quick. Because they put this on the PBE 2 patches ago, and I just forgot to talk about it. So do you guys see what they're doing to support items?
No.
So when you upgrade it, so you have two upgrades. You have when you get 500 gold, you get wards. And then when you have 1,000 gold, it doesn't do anything, I think, currently right now. It just like fully upgrades, or maybe it gives you extra ward slot or something.
I think it increases the stats the item
offers. You should get more stats. You just get more stats.
So what they're doing... and this is on the PvE, and I feel like it's going to take a long time to test, is when it upgrades the second time, they're giving ward range 300, like an extra 300 to your ward range.
Ooh.
So when I saw this, I actually really liked it initially. I think that's a bit much. But what I would love to see, honestly, is to have it base it on the support item. So the two with the tribute passive where you, like, kill a minion, I want to see those give wards four hits. And then the other one be like, your wards now have, like, plus 150 range. So it's like, yeah, you can play the, like, you know, bitch mode e-girl support and take relic shield, but then you don't get your bonus range on wards.
Apparently it's only for the enchanter ones currently. So the idea, by the way, Nick, the idea is that at League at the highest level of play, the problem with current wards is when an enchanter goes to ward, they have to bring their team with them or they die, right? You can't go ward solo as a fucking Sona or else you die or whatever, right? So the idea is you give them more range so they don't have to, like, face check bushes and stuff to ward, because the right way to play and ward with those characters right now is you group as five and you walk around and you ward. And that is the correct way of playing the game, and it's boring as fuck, right? So it sucks when the best way to play the game is a not fun way. So this is their way to, like, make it so that in, like, competitive play, you don't just have supports, like, just grouped on their, like, team to, like, go clear wards and stuff.
I guess. This just takes me back to when everyone had access to wards all the time.
And
it was the most, like, boring version of League where, oh, everyone has perfect information the entire time, so no one makes mistakes, so no one fights, like, at all.
Yeah, I think the main problem is 300 is too much. 300, like, allows for some fucking cheesy-ass wards. Like, you can ward, like... from what's it called, from, like, you know, Pixel Bush near Baron, you can ward like that over the wall, like behind red buff.
Yeah,
like, it's like very, it's a very long range. I think 150 would be fine, maybe 200, but you shouldn't be able to do some cheese wards with it.
I would love to see more development in this line though, of like have how it changes, I think, based on if you take the hit the enemy for your gold or last hit the minion for gold, and then also go ahead and like throw variations on like the item you get after level like 11 or whatever, the like 1,000 gold one. Like, there's so many cool things you could do where it's like, if there were three options for that, where it's like, okay, this one increases your storage cap to like 5 or increases the duration of your wards by 30 seconds or makes them invulnerable for the first 2 seconds that they're placed.
Yeah,
like that would be so cool if they added those variations and let you choose that stuff. Yeah, like, imagine augments. If you could buy an item that made your ward invulnerable for the first 2 seconds.
Yeah, that'd be kind
of
nice.
I just worry that in that scenario, you would just pick the same, like, the strongest one every single time. I don't trust Riot enough to be able to balance those around, like... Yeah. I mean, I like it. I really like it, and I'd love to see, like, variation of it. But I think everyone just ends up picking, like, the same thing every single game.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. But
probably, yeah.
I mean, I just don't have faith in Riot to balance this game anymore.
Yeah.
Agreed. Cool. I mean, Kaisa's not nerfed, so.
That was what I was going to say. So
they don't know how to balance the game. It's fine.
So we have learned where MSI is going to be held this week or this year through a little blunder on the, what, LOL Esports page.
Yeah, it's already something been like that. It's already been like shown now. Like, they've officially like released it. Oh, I have that playing through my speakers. but they've officially shown it now. But it's happening in Iceland. But it was like leaked. Yeah, they just like released the image early.
So Iceland is going to be where it's held. It's pretty cool. Not sure how many people are going to be able to go. Assuming
they're having no people like.
Oh, perfect. There. Okay. Cool. It seems weird to announce it then, or to even hold it there, I guess.
What did you say, Aiden? That they're not letting...
There's no, like, spectators, like, at the event. Oh, okay. It's just, like, they're bringing all the pros there. I think the idea, Nick, is that Iceland has lax-er, like, laws to get people in. So they're going to bring people there, let them quarantine for 2 weeks, and then they're going to have an event, like, in a place. So they can have, like, an actual, like, live event, rather than, like, trying to do... I mean, you can't do a LAN event, like, for MSI. Yeah.
So. And I mean, they're probably a big enough company that they can reach out to like legitimate federal governments to organize this thing. So
yeah,
that's cool. Awesome. Let's get into the round table. Oh,
dude, you're skipping all over.
I'm sorry.
You have skipped like everything.
Nick, are you drunk? Shit.
You also
yeah.
skipped
Are you high?
Yeah, the star, yeah.
Sorry.
I got it.
It's because that support item change really, really screwed me up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is the rate us five starries section, where you can tell us on whatever podcasting app you use that supports these reviews how much you love our show mm-hmm. or how much you love the B-movie script.
Yeah.
But this one is from Gloomy Sugar 95, and he says, listening to this makes me fiddle my sticks. Five stars. Although I've only recently found this podcast after listening to the first few episodes on Spotify, I quickly sorted old to new and dug in. I work with earphones in, so I've managed to get from episode 360 to wow. 402. That's like almost a year
yeah.
of content. I loved the 400 special. These guys produce great content and have inspired me to get back into League. I can't yeah. wait to catch up. 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5. 8 out of 8, mate. How do we inspire you to get back into League? Nick and I talk about how much we hate this game every week.
Yeah. But we didn't. We didn't a year and a half ago.
I probably did, though. True. I feel like yeah. I was the one who constantly took breaks and hated the game like the most. And now like I feel like you guys both hate it a lot more than I do. I feel like I'm the bright-eyed.
I just
like,
I've
done.
Always hated the game.
Yeah.
I've always just played it anyway.
Yeah.
I've played 165 games. I'm ready for a break.
How many games have I played between my two accounts? Probably like...
This is the most ranked I've ever played before.
Same.
This is by far the most ranked I've ever seen Aiden play.
Yeah.
Same. The fact that he's playing almost every day, that's crazy.
Tom Kench and an unemployment.
Yeah, true. What did we do for episode 400?
I did the Jeopardy thing.
Oh, yeah, the Jeopardy. Yeah. That was so good.
Don't worry, we'll do it again for 500. Episode 20 from then was yeah. so good, though. Episode 420 was so good.
Yeah.
It sure was, Colton.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about the next section, Nick, now that we have completed our five-starry review?
I would,
if you haven't sent
it's...
one,
God.
Send us reviews.
Yeah.
Get up
no,
there.
Don't send us reviews. Send Google and whatever you listen to reviews.
Yeah,
and
tell
find
Google
them.
That we're a five-star show and comment about the content of the show just a little bit so that they don't see us and think that we're paying you to do this.
Yeah.
Or tell a friend if you can't leave a review, tell a friend and then
yeah.
get them to
tell
leave
one
a
friend and then they can tell one friend.
Yeah. And if all of your friends tell one friend, then we'll all be impressed at how many
we want to go for have. Two friends, because then it like is like it goes big.
Oh, true. Two friends. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Two friends. And if they make money, then you'll make money and you'll get 10% of
yeah.
their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone that they bring.
Yeah. And tell your two friends to each become two mos, and then we'll default promote you to a four mo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I don't think we could do that. Let's jump into the round table, though. That's what
yeah.
we can do.
So last week's question was, if you could have any duo partner to play League with, dead or alive, who do you want as your partner? From Twitter, we got one from Downgrade Falco, and he says, C9 Mango. That's funny. I think that's funny.
I bet Mango would be so fucking fun.
Yeah. And then Lucas said, probably Aiden, Master Kench, you sick bro. He's really pandering to get chosen this week. And then another one from Tanera. And they said, I play mostly mid and support. If I was mid, I'd love to play with Night Blue because I think he's hilarious and a good player. If I was support, I'd want Sneaky because he's the calmest ADC player I've watched and his voice is sexy. Hell yeah. From our Discord, Armis
said...
Can I
give a fucking fat shout out to the people on Twitter adding these people?
Yeah, I think it's so funny.
Like,
yeah.
with us, like, replying to us? That's fucking pog.
I think it's so funny that fucking someone added Mango. Who's
Yeah, I know.
That's so funny. Armis said, even though it might be intimidating, I would love to play with Reckless. I feel like I could learn a lot bot from him, and he could carry
True.
Me out of low elo. Speedy Spike says Gandhi. A little different than Reckless. I'd just like to see how many games it would take to break his gentle spirit, and if he doesn't break, he can hopefully keep me calm and not tilt. A couple more from our Discord, one from Fable. He said, I wouldn't mind playing a few games with Matthew Mercer. He can whip out Ooh. GP, talk like a pirate the whole game, and flame me when... flame me as such when I get one shot by Navi support as the ADC. Sounds lovely. We were trying to think of who like Matt Mercer voiced in League, but it was
yeah,
GP.
The only one I know is that he voices Wolf.
Yeah. Cool.
He might.
Oh, interesting.
GP. Yeah. Cool. Orden said probably choose Sneaky or Meteos. Those two are untiltable and probably could teach me a lot about the roles I enjoy to play. And last but not least, Filthy Dex Build said, I would want my duo partner to be a Shuckle from Pokemon. I'd make them play Rel, Leona, or some other tank support, and I'd play Kalista. Then whenever I use my ultimate to throw them at the enemy, I'd spam, Shuckle, I choose you, in all chat as I toss an adorable ball of CC into Dragon Pit. After after that, we surrender with a GG jungle diff because I dove dragon while the jungler was taking Krugs. Wow. I just like the fucking contrast. We had a couple pro players, Mango, Gandhi, and Shuckle. That's insane.
That's pretty funny.
This week's question, though, is what is your favorite League of Legends cinematic? Because if you guys don't know, me, my girlfriend, and my cousin, we watched through every single League cinematic ever produced, skin trailers, whatever, all that shit, on my stream over the last couple days. It was 6 hours of content, and we made like a little tier list. So I've watched through them all. So
I think it's got to be the Senna reveal, looking back on it. I think Awaken is super sick, and it's my favorite League song for sure.
Yeah.
But the Senna reveal trailer, like, on top of everything else that, you know, contextually came with League's 10-year anniversary, the Senna reveal was so dope. Like, yeah. It finally happened. Lucian's wife is here, mm-hmm. and she's a fucking badass.
Yeah. So
that's what
Senna
I'm
going to go
with.
Senna reveal is definitely in my top five, I think. I don't know if it's one. It's really hard to say without, like, going through. I'd say Senna reveal's in my top five.
It didn't post the list if you wanted to see like pictures, maybe.
Yeah,
I can. So I could name probably my top five off the top of my head. Ooh, where there's like that, Rise, the Amumu song, Get Jinxed, and probably Awaken is in there too. And that maybe the Jin versus Camille one is pretty hype too.
That's Awaken, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's I was like the Jin and Camille or Awaken, and I'm like, yes, those are the same.
Yeah.
So those are probably my top five. I'd say in my, like, it's probably between Senna reveal and Get Jinxed, because, like, Get Jinxed just came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And was, like, the first thing of its kind, where, like, by the time Senna reveal came out, like, you expect something of that quality, and it 100% fucking delivers, and that's why it's so hype, is, like, there's so much behind it. But Get Jinx just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
All right, Aiden, you want to spoil your chill list?
Yeah. I put, six or something in the top, like, S-plus tier. I'm just going to go through those really quick, just because I did put time into it. I did Villain, which is the KDA song. The fucking cinematic for that song is so fucking sick. The song's really also cool. Good, but, like, the cinematic's so insane. Awaken is insane. I think that's, like, it's just as good as, like, Villain. We did the Annie Origins cinematic. Mm-hmm. That one's fantastic. Rise, which I'm not as big a fan of, but it is really, really fantastic. The Senna reveal trailer. Warriors, because the fucking remix of Warriors in that, like the quiet, like, church type one, is so fucking good. The Tales of Runeterra one with Graves and TF versus
Misfortune.
Yeah. All, every single Tales of Runeterra trailer is insane. There's like 10 of them, and I think there's only like one that's not that great, and it still like is a C tier, like, cinematic. Mm-hmm. And then we did the Amumu song, but like those are all fucking amazing. Our one that like none of the three of us had seen, but we really enjoyed it, was the TFT Little Legend cinematic.
The Journey,
it's so cute. Oh my god,
dude. Oh, the TFT trailers are so cute.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where we're like, what the fuck is this? And then it just captured our hearts.
It's just a Pengu running around the whole fucking time, and you're like, it's so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. That was like my
and the Aoshin one is also really good. I think you guys put that at like A or S.
Yeah.
But like the Aoshin one's real good too.
It's really
good. I love though that when you got to the Amumu one, Aiden, you were just immediately, because I hyped that one so much, you're just like, oh yeah, Colton fucking loves this one.
Yeah. I've heard you talk about it forever. I mean, I watched it when it first came out, like what, 2014 or something, but I haven't watched it since, so.
I don't remember that. I'll have to go back and listen to it.
If you want the
Tale of the Sad Mummy,
the biggest stinker that you guys should watch, because I don't think almost any of our listeners had seen this, maybe you guys have seen it, is the trailer that they did for when what's the fucking Dominion came out. They outsourced this trailer for Dominion, and all the characters look jank as fuck. It's just like random fighting. It's so bad. Just Yikes. Google like Dominion trailer. I feel like 1% of our listeners have probably seen this. It's so bad. It's like the only full-length trailer that we have in there, like as F tier.
I was going to say, to be fair, 1% of our listeners probably know what Dominion is.
That's fair, yeah.
I also loved when you showed the, like, first ever trailer, and then, like, the actually popular first trailer.
Yeah.
That, like, so, like, the first one, like, League of Legends Clash of Fates is so bad. Yeah, and the next one, like, is very aged, but it's still so hype, I think.
Yeah, it's much better.
Like, it's really, really aged, but come on.
Yeah. So, anyways, if you want to tell us what your favorite League of Legends cinematic is, you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, send us a tweet at LeagueCast, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's leaguecastpodcast.com/discord.
Sweet. We're going to jump right into mail fight. First email is from Armis. Personally, I hate playing Zoe, but I think her whole kit is full of neat mechanics. The bouncing of her Q is super interesting, and I think it's awesome to have a champ that interacts with summoner spells in theory. Lastly, I think the way her E range extending through walls makes finding positioning interesting. All this kind of bums me out because I'd love to play with these abilities on a different champ, but now it seems that they are used, and new champs will most likely have new ideas or gimmicks. Sorry, this is from Butt Stuff. Do you have any mechanics that you wish could be on a new champion? Thanks for reading my slightly below average, or as I put on my Tinder, 8-inch email, Butt Stuff. I don't know. I don't really subscribe to that notion of like, wow, this mechanic's really cool, but I'll never play this character. Yeah. If a character is fun to play, I think I'll just play that character. Give Zoe a shot. Like, what if you really enjoy her, you know, to the point where you can live through your dislike of her design, I guess.
Yeah.
Because
that being said,
go ahead.
Like, I think that there's something to be said about, like, don't just discount a champion because you don't like their style or whatever, but like Riot going one and done with mechanics is something that's pissed me off for so fucking long.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Right, where there's like, what, there's two champions now with a sleep. There's one character with Brittle. Like, Nearsighted is three characters. Like,
Poison's fucking boring.
Poison's like three. Like, they have so many mechanics that they just underutilize where it's like, Brittle should be used so much more. Like, Nearsighted is kind of antsy fun, so I don't think they should use that more. But, like, I talked about that Poison rework probably 3 years ago at this point, but, like, they could do so much cool shit with Poison interacting and being an actual thing. Like, they could have knockups interact in a unique way besides just not being reduced by Tenacity. Like, they have all of these unique mechanics that they just don't fucking use, and they're like, but we're going to add a new character whose auto attacks do physical and magic damage because we need that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they have all of these tools in their kit they don't use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Give it a shot. I don't personally have anything that I would put on a different character. What about you guys?
Nothing I can think of, no.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely like Brittle, I think, is one of the easiest ones to, I think, put to a lot of different characters.
That's true, yeah. Sejuani, I mean, any Frost Froyard character probably should have Brittle at some point.
I think that'd be, really easy. And I think also you could, with relative ease, do things like include, like, Blaze could even be a thing that, like, different fire champions could apply for a brand. Like,
that'd be so OP. Holy shit.
But, like, they could play around it and have, like, other characters interact with it, too, so it's not just him.
Yeah, I know, same but I'm just with, thinking, like, of Annie Brand. Like, Annie with Tibbers blazes everyone, and then they die to Brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot that would have to be done to make that, I think, fair.
It sounds cool. It just sounds cool, but it does sound overpowered.
I think, like, Sleep is one that I'd like to see more of. I think, honestly, like, more silences in the game I'd be totally down with. And honestly, I would be fine with, like, longer silences than, like, obviously you can't have, like, a 6 second stun. I think 6 seconds is still way too long, but, like,
who's the character Dota, Nick? And what's their silence duration?
Silencer?
I fucking hate Dota, man. Holy shit.
Let me see. Because he has global silence, which, like, fucking dope thing about this character, if you're on the other theme and he casts his ultimate, which globally silences all enemies, like, the Dota client stops making sound. Like, everything, like, there's no background music, there's no ability sounds, there's nothing. Like, it turns the sound, it mutes the sound. It is a six second silence.
Global silence.
At max rank.
But, like, right, it's it doesn't just need to be like suppressions that get to be that long or like the full range astral. Like, you can make it just a silence, and then you can allow that to be like a 3 second silence, because it's like, okay, this is stupid good against certain characters and just not great against other teams. Mm-hmm. Like, cool, you silenced our Jinx or Tryndamere. Like, good for you. They're gonna auto attack you a million times. Yeah. But also it's like, okay, cool, they picked the Kassadin. Like, yeah, the only reason he's fucking nuts is because he gets to R in and then R out and then R back in within a 5 second interval.
Yeah.
And like, if you can silence him for two, he's like, play, you can play against it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to see way more of it. So Riot, put me on your design team. I'll fix your game. I'll nerf Kai'Sa. I'll do what you don't have the courage to do. I'll delete Aphelios and Yone and Viego.
I'm sorry, little one.
Yeah.
And then you just throw him to the fucking rocks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Thanks to the email, but stuff. Next one we got is from Armis. He says, hey guys, it's me again, back at you with a controversial take. I guess I should have expected that my first email would probably spark something with the whole Seraphine and Sona thing. So I think I've come to a solution everyone can agree on. Delete both of them from the game and replace them with Tom Kench's son, Tim Kench.
Tim Kench is so funny.
Tim Kench is fucking perfect.
Just with the H, that's so funny.
Mm-hmm. That way we can have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit of our one true Lord, Tom Kench, all in one game. But anyway, I come bearing one question. What are your thoughts on Glacial Augment Tom Kench support? I know you won't be as tanky as Grasp or be as safe as Guardian, but having slows on your autos can give you a surprising amount of kill pressure. It's worked quite well for me in the past. Definitely doesn't scale as well as Grasp or Guardian, but it can get you early kill leads easily. I'm not sorry for the long email, because it's as long as our savior's tongue. Armis.
Oh my god.
All right, Aiden, so I think I know what you're going to say and why, but just go ahead and say it.
You need Guardian bottom is like the biggest thing, because your character doesn't do stuff. Also, you don't need Glacial is the biggest thing. When you queue them, it has, well, you max queue first, and it has a 70% slow for 2 seconds. So having Glacial doesn't do much for you, because the only way that Glacial helps you is if you get an auto attack off to start. So unless you're like bush cheesing or something like that, it doesn't really change much. Because usually you just like hit them with a Q, you have approach velocity, which gives you movement speed towards them. And it's a 70% slow. So like, Glacial doesn't really fit into your trading patterns very well. And then just like Guardian, I mean, Guardian's the best support rune, I think, in the game, because it's a huge shield that only procs when you're taking a good amount of damage.
Yeah, it's so good. You don't have to be good at like timing your defensive abilities to prevent damage when Guardian just does it after a certain amount.
Mm-hmm. And Aiden, I think, what I thought you were going to say is that like, if you, there's no way you're getting close enough to auto them without them already having been hit by your Q.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's already over.
Yeah, that's like the main thing. Like, it just doesn't really, like, you have to think of the runes that work good on that character, right? It's literally Grasp, because it, like, allows for better trades. It's Hail of Blades, so you can get off, like, all three stacks really quick. It's Guardian, because Guardian's OP on supports, and you're just going to sit on your carry anyways. And I mean, after that, it's like, rough, right? Like,
it's Phase Rush, because you can kidnap people.
Phase Rush isn't, like, awful, actually, by any means. Because you can
I think it's more fun, right? Yeah.
It's not bad, though.
Yeah.
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 You're limited, cool. though.
Tim Kench. Thank you, Armis. Next email is from Ray. Subject, roundtable question, duo partner. Hey guys, first off, love the podcast. First time writing in, but I've been a silent listener for about 8 months at this point. Welcome, welcome. I love the insight you guys bring to the game, and it's a great way to occupy some time on my commute to work. Just figured I'd say that I would love to duo with Quantum. Sorry if this comes across as promoting other streamers on your platform, but it's sort of part of the question. First and foremost, everyone listening should go check out Nick Colton and Aiden streams whenever possible. Quantum is a mid lane challenger player, usually hovering somewhere around 600 to 1,000 LP. Everyone I see always talks about how they hate the toxic streamers in the league. Well, then go watch this dude. He streams, smokes some weed, the devil's lettuce, laughs more than anyone I've ever seen, and to top it off, he never flames or gets angry at his teammates. I love playing league with people who are chill, but still play to win. You can care about the game and winning without raging at people, and I really wish more people in League of Legends understood that. Thank you guys again for doing so much for the community, Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. We'll have to check him out. We'll have to check him out. Thank you, Ray. Sounds dope.
Yeah. the next one from HB. If you could design a new minion for the game, what would it be? How powerful and abundant would it be? And maybe it spawns with a certain contingency, such as the super minions. My idea is little minions called hunter minions. They spawn 3 at a time. They carry little daggers and do a little bit more damage than melee minions, but are less tanky. They follow any player that has smite and will help you fight jungle monsters. Obviously, I don't think this should be added, but it's fun to think about. What do you think of this idea, and what are some of yours?
I would love to see... So obviously, cannon minions are supposed to be something that accentuate taking turrets and things like that. But I would love to see like a super cannon minion, basically, every once in a while that... I guess it would alternate spawns every once in a while. Like, I don't know, at 10 minutes, there's one in the bottom lane. At 15 minutes, there's one in the mid lane. 20 minutes, there's one in the top lane.
Yeah.
And it just really takes reduced damage from turrets. Probably doesn't do increased damage to turrets. But it would be something that, like, okay, if we can plan around it, you know, we can force a fight around, you know, the top lane turrets to try to get a sneaky advantage here or there. You know, counterplay that with like, oh, we're going to give that up to get a dragon, to get a herald, something like that. But I think like minions that were specifically designed for anti-turret stuff and sort of focusing around that early would be really cool.
What about Inferno minions? And minions that set themselves ablaze sometimes and run through the enemy minions, so they take DOT damage, but they light other enemy minions on fire.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wave clear minions?
Yeah, but they'd like die.
That'd be sick. Yeah.
What if you could just summon like little suicide bomber minions that just like AFK push the lane, and then if there were no minions there, they would just attack the tower and dive bomb it.
You mean Yorick?
You mean Malzahar?
No, I mean Zerat. I mean old Zerat.
Oh, I see.
It's actually funny.
Those are three high quality jokes, I'll say.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot that you like potentially could do with it. I kind of like the idea of like the jungler getting something to help them in the jungle. Like, I feel like the idea of them like following you and helping you kill shit maybe might not be the best way, but like it could be like a every time you've cleared like every camp once, you get like a minion that patrols your jungle or something. You could like
when you smite wolf camp again.
Fuck you, Aiden.
yeah. No, but like the old wolf spirit kind of, yeah. But, like, I think that, like, having contingencies is the way to go.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Like, that or, like, when you kill dragon, like, maybe you, like, can promote one of your cannon minions to, like, a dragon-empowered cannon minion.
What if you just got like, the spirit of the dragon?
Yeah.
Dope.
your cannon minion gets an elder buff permanently.
Not that I like, want to stay too long on it, but what were the smite things? Like, when you smite wolves, you got the spirit. When you smited Gromp, you got the poison on hit.
You got, like, thornmail on yourself with Gromp.
Oh, I thought it was
no,
poison.
With Gromp, it was the poison, yeah. It was poison when you were attacked.
Okay.
So it was
yeah, it was poison
you were saying
when you
the
were
same
attacked.
Thing.
I just
yeah.
knew that yeah. you could take smite on Cassiopeia, smite Gromp, and then use your E for free if they hit
yeah.
you. Which is stupid.
Yeah. Krugs was the on-hit stun every 5 auto attacks, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on jungle monsters.
I don't remember what chickens were.
I think chickens was like movement speed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't remember.
I don't know. man, that was a fun time to be alive. But this makes me think back to my like first MOBA, which was Temple Siege as a StarCraft like mod.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you could do in that game was pump all of your money into upgrading your minions. Like, and so one of the strategies was you'd pick like an ultra safe character, farm, spend none of your money for the first 20 minutes, and like then you just blow all of your money out in like one burst on the minions, and the minions just take the whole base because nobody can fight them.
That's so funny.
That's because a, it that's turned like the them... old
sorry, go ahead.
it turned them from, like, the fucking Zealots, which are, like, melee, you know, things, mm-hmm. into the fucking Reavers, which have, like, hella range and AoE, and you make, like, more of them. And you just sit there and, like, you just protect your little herd of minions and watch them end the game. Yeah. It was so
that fun. That reminds me of that, Heimerdinger bug, where you could block off, mid lane creeps if you place your turrets
and build the wave.
Yeah, and you would just build the fucking mid wave and then crash it down. Have fucking 200 minions running out.
Yes,
please. Sweet.
Also, Raptors was Duskblade, by the way. It gave you, like, when you had a ward that swatted you, it would show it, so.
Gotcha. Sweet. Thank you, HB. Next email from Nathan. Hey, I had a thought about how to rework Nautilus E. This is in response to our Zed talks. Let's see. Anyway, here's the thought. Sorry. On your latest Zed talk, you discussed how to make Nautilus viable in the top lane and jungle again without just buffing his E to the point where he has the easiest slash best wave clear in the game. I had a thought on a mechanic that would add skill expression and might be a tool to help gate the damage it did to champions versus monsters. It's a two-part change. First change is that each subsequent ripple does more damage if it hits the same target. Could also work that it does more damage to slow targets to allow for a bit more comp synergy. This would allow it to effectively do more damage to minions who are too dumb to not get hit by multiple wave than champions who are smart enough to just back away when he casts it. Effectively, you can now balance it versus minions and champions by noodling how much damage each subsequent wave hits do. Well, you say once you get hit by the first wave, you just get slowed, which guarantees you get hit by the subsequent waves, right? That's where the second change comes in. What if it worked like Vlad W, where it can be body blocked, including by minions, but if a shockwave kills a minion, it continues on? This would add interesting gameplay where you and Nautilus would try to dance around the low health minions. He's trying to kill low health minions with the first two waves with the first wave to access you with subsequent waves, and you're trying to avoid taking the ramping increased damage from getting hit by multiple waves. You try to balance the numbers so that if you can manage to only get hit by one wave, you win the trade. If he hits multiple waves on you, he wins the trade. It would also give a bit more skill expression to Nautilus, where he would ideally have to prep the wave to get most out of his wave clear and not just have a delete wave button. Mm-hmm. I think functionally it would act almost like a mix between Vlad W and Urgot W, which would be kind of cool. He could also use his auto attack route to pin minions down, which might allow even more skill expression, where he's able to create gaps in the minion wave. I think giving him more skill expression, allowing him to use his Q to, say, get quickly around the wave so he can land multiple E-procs would be cool, almost like Timbersaw in Dota, Nathan. That would be dope. We didn't really have a good solution for Nautilus's E on our Zed talks.
Yeah.
I would have if you'd waited for me.
I mean, probably, but I had enough of losing in solo queue that day that I wasn't going to wait.
Yeah, Nick was in a mood. Cole, don't think like that we were actually annoyed at you. Nick had some solo queue issues, you know what I mean? It's like the classic, if I play this one more game and I win it, life's good, and if I lose this game, mm-hmm. I'm going to be mad, and a children's video game is ruining my day.
I think that day it was either that day or the day before. I went 0 through my promos and dropped to 0 LP, and I was playing with fire. I was like, "Fuck it, I'm demoting, or I'm getting one game away from demotion." I think that was it. But this is sick. I like this a lot. I like the idea of having to dance around the minion waves versus Nautilus, which is something you almost already do because of the interaction with the his hook. But I think this is a really good way to continue to sort of do that, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it wouldn't, like, just gut Nautilus as a character entirely. But I think it could be really cool. Also, one of the dopest animations in the game.
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. It's really cool. Also in that cinematic.
Yeah. This is making me think back to one of the other emails talking about, like, moving mechanics onto other characters, where I think, like, Nautilus E and Malphite E are both, I think, really good candidates for something similar to Talia Q, right? Where, like, Talia works the earth and then, like, her Q is less effective in that spot. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, that idea on, I think also, like, Rammus could be a candidate for it with his ultimate. But the idea of, like they're fucking up the ground here. Like, Nautilus is so big and so heavy and, like, crushes the ground and slows you, but, like, you can't do that again in the same spot. I think that that would be a really interesting thing to try and move. And then that could also open up these characters for more things. Like, that could push Nautilus into a jungle role if they wanted to be like, hey, you're going to have more areas that you can use this in. Or, you know, give Malphite more of a unique identity besides just press R. Yeah. Where it's like, yeah, he slams the fucking ground into, like, nothingness. And that those could be really cool. But, yeah, so... Thank you. I'm missing his name.
Nathan.
There it is, Nathan. Thank you for the email.
He makes hot dogs, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I bet he does. There's something else I was going to say, but I this is from Filthy Dex Build. Says, duality in champion designed. Dearest LeagueCast. Hey guys, it's been a long time since I've emailed the show, and I wanted to talk about something I really love about League, champion design. I know there are plenty of champions in League who design is inherently tilting or overtuned, but I think it could be fun to talk about something they've done well. Specifically, I love pairs of characters who mirror one another, both in-game and in the lore. The first example that comes to mind is Renekton and Nasus. Renekton, the extremely aggressive brother who's always itching for the kill, while Nasus is all about powering through patience... and precision. Nasus Q is an empowered auto that focuses on patiently gathering strength for a final confrontation, while Renekton Q lashes at everything around him, healing him for more with each opponent. W is Cripple for Nasus, a tool that can be used to either dampen the effectiveness of an enemy attacking him or to chase down a foe once he's able to fight. Renekton W is a mindless flurry of slashes that stuns an enemy so that he can continue to brutalize them. Nasus E is a zoning tool that helps him to CS safely in the early game and becomes a tool of battle later in the game when its ability to reduce resistances sets him up to defeat foes with only a few decisive strikes. Renekton E is a dash that can be used twice, only when used to engage, again, rewarding aggression. I'm going to also say that the E is also an armor shred, so that's that. Even more of those fucking synergies. And the ultimates are very similar. I don't know if he says anything. Okay, the duality of these characters are brilliantly defined with their pre-level 6 kits. Nasus is all about biding his time and growing in strength, while Renekton throws caution to the wind for the thrill of battle. These characters' traits are emphasized by how excellently Renekton's kits allow him to succeed in the early game, wading through blood to secure an aggressive lead. In comparison, Nasus will often ignore his lane opponent in favor of farm, using his kit initially to avoid his opponent until he has gained a late-game power that turns them into aggressive tools. Then the final crowning piece of game design is their ultimates. Visually, both of their ultimates are identical, and the effects are very similar, giving them bonus health, size, and auto attack range, but they're used in completely different ways by the two brothers. Early games, Anasus will sometimes use his ultimate solely for health and resistances so they can avoid a death that would stem their growth. It's a valuable tool to be used effectively so they can survive early, and later is used as a capstone that further empowers their ability to deal massive damage with Q. Renekton by ultimate, by comparison, is best used recklessly. It can be used as an animation cancel for his empowered stun and allows him to rapidly regain rage to throw at his opponent. If you press R in the middle of a trade as Renekton, your kill pressure increases dramatically, while Nasus is better off using it to run away until he doesn't have to anymore. Late game Renekton ultimate means virtually nothing besides allowing him to survive slightly longer with the empowered Qs. The symmetry between these two characters is a masterclass in game design, further emphasized by their opposite masteries of early and late game. I hope that this look at Ryan's champ design is a refreshing and positive look at a pool of characters that is often ridiculously unbalanced. I find it to be really cool, and it gives me hope that League might get back to a point of releasing characters that aren't hysterically overpowered or depressingly weak upon release, depending on how many skins they think it will sell. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks. Filthy Dex Build. P.S. Sorry for the Malphite-sized email. I mean, I think that what you're describing is something that, like, older players of the game, it's like, there have been so many characters that have come out and like so many things you can look at. There's like, damn, that design was so good at the time, mm-hmm. or even is still so good. And like, it makes the ones that aren't designed well or that you like, you don't like, feel so much more frustrating, right? Like, obviously every character can't be Jin, who I think is one of the like cleanest examples of just excellent design. Like, it, his shit just all fits so well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Thresh was an early on example. I think Orianna was a very early example of, like, just really excellent design. I think, you know, Renekton and Nasus going back, those are very old characters. I think Nasus is one of the originals.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Nasus was, and Renekton was within, like, the first year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they have so many just amazingly designed characters that aren't doing all this crazy shit. And then you just like look at other ones where you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's Viego now. He just does it all. And that's why, like, for me, a lot of times I'm disappointed in a lot of characters where I'm just like, man, like, there's so much you could have done with this, but instead of giving it like a unique identity, you just threw fucking everything at it.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way sometimes. For sure.
Yeah. But thanks for the email. I thought that was really well written and like a really good comparison of those two characters that, again, I think are a great example of the highs that they can hit. But you also have to consider some of the lows that exist as well. But yeah, thanks for the email, Filthy Dex Build. Next one from Dippy.
Dippy, subject, why not zombie ward? Every champion rune guide I see has eyeball collection as the best option for that row of domination, and I don't get it. All three runes in that row grant up to 30 adaptive force. The trade-off between the three is vision utility versus ease of acquiring stacks through takedowns. The way I see it, if you have support warding items, you want Ghost Poro. If you're a jungler like me, who takes sweeping lens, you want zombie ward. And if you're a laner, you want eyeball collection. Am I wrong? Is the convenience of stacking not worth that much more than the vision utility? Is the player base so bad at vision control that zombie ward isn't worth it? Zippy.
I guess, like, I have a pretty good answer to this. I think Poro, first of all, is just bad. I think Poro is, like...
Yeah.
I guess, like, so Poro has the use of, like, your wards are longer, is the idea. Like, because they then create a Poro. But in theory, at least at higher levels of play, your wards don't last the full duration, usually.
Yeah.
So that's why
Either they get swept or you replace them.
Yeah, and Poro takes the longest to stack because you need your wards to die and then your Poro to see stuff is, like, the main thing. Zombie ward, I think, is actually like insane. I think more people should use zombie ward, just because when you clear wards, it drops a ward. Therefore, if they go to, obviously they're placing wards where they want to put wards. Like, for example, like a tribush, they put a ward, you clear it and it puts a ward there that they clear, but then you get to watch them place another ward. Like, so you know, there's a ward there again. It's like this weird like loop of like, you get to see them place a ward because you cleared a ward earlier. And I think that's why zombie ward is super good, and it's like pretty easy to stack. That being said, eyeball collection is the easiest to stack by far. You just have to participate in 10 kills. Like, you're getting that no matter what every single game. And it is a lot of gold. The reality is that
unless you're a jungler on my team.
True. The reality is that those three runes, the gold efficiency of them is 650 gold from stats that you get, which is a lot. That is a surprising amount of gold. So the earlier you stack them, the faster you get that gold efficiency. I do agree that zombie ward is good enough that most people should be going it, but like if you're not getting it early enough and other people are getting eyeball collection, you're missing out on that gold.
I think there's something to be said, and it's like a very weird like reverse situation. Where, like, the zombie ward is super good, but part of it is that, like, you'll never get zombie ward unless you cleared a ward that the enemy had.
Yeah.
Which means that they will always know, if they're playing the game, like, perfectly, where every zombie ward is when it was created.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if the jungler is a Mega Mind, like, 3000 IQ player, he'll never get seen by any zombie ward ever.
Yeah.
Because he knows where all of them are. And then you're going to have false security because of it. Whereas, like, you know, I can place a control ward or a stealth ward and nobody knows about it. And now I have safety from that angle. But, right, like, if I know as the jungler that they have a zombie ward in Tri and the River Bush, but I know that River's clear, like, I can walk over, like, get behind the dragon wall, sneak behind with the plant, and, like, now I have a ridiculous gank path that they feel safe about. And, like, I don't think that that's enough to say that you shouldn't take it, because, like, no jungler, or 99.99% of junglers aren't going to big brain you like that, but,
also, like... I think the main use of zombie ward is the fact that you clear their ward and tribush, and that allows you to then ward river instead, right? And then you have, like, both paths clear, whereas normally you'd only have one ward for the two, like, is the idea.
Or, like, when you get in those, like, long extended fights around dragon or baron, where both supports use up all of their charges, and it's like, cool, we finished your ward, so now we have one.
Yeah.
That being said, I think that there's, again, like, I don't think that that's enough to make any difference in the vast, vast majority of games, but I could see somebody using that as a reason of why they, like, don't like zombie ward.
It is mentioned
big brain
in chat really quick, though. If you are going Umbral Glaive, you go zombie ward every single game, like, because you just clear wards.
Yeah, makes sense.
On cooldown.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
You just one hit the wards.
Yeah.
But not if there is a support item that gave your wards 4 HP.
True.
Dumb. Big brain.
Yeah.
Or if there's a support item that, like, gave you that passive, or, like, made your auto attacks deal 2 ticks of ward health. Like,
yeah.
They could do a lot of cool shit with support items interacting uniquely with wards.
Yeah.
And I think if they do that, they can fucking nerf the shit out of Yellow Trinket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I, like, honestly, that's what I want to see, because, like, I don't want the game to be every player in the game has, like, a control ward and 2 regular wards out, and everything is known. But, like, if you nerf the shit out of yellow wards because you've made support items, like, even better and given them, like, unique masteries or ways to unlock these things, I think that can be really cool.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And it also opens up, like, building support items or characters in off rolls in a way that's less funnily. Like, you know, I'd be much more okay with, like, you take the Lulu top to survive and have more wards in the late game, and not because you're running, like, a Taric E mid.
Yeah.
Because I hate
Fair enough.
That.
Yeah.
Cool. But anyway, thanks for the email, Dippy. Next one we have is from Little Barnabas. Hey, fellas, this is more of a Riot Games-related thing than a League-related thing, but feel free to skip. No, we're not skipping it. He said, I just bought a house, and listening to the podcast while doing home improvement has made it way more fun. Recently, they revealed LeBlanc as the next champion in Legends of Runeterra, and the community is split. She's basically built as a beat stick, but delicate champion that doesn't really have anything to do with deception, illusions, or trickery. Some people think that I his first how LeBlanc
that is a crazy sentence.
I think that this is first how LeBlanc feels in League of Legends as a burst mage assassin. Other people believe she should be more focused and based around illusions and trickery. Where do you guys fall on this? When adapting champions from League of Legends to Legends of Runeterra, sent from my sticky child with nice socks, Little Barnabas. Well, I mean, I think honestly, LeBlanc being a beat stick makes perfect sense as, like, the vanguard of Demacia. Like the fourth crown prince, like, it makes perfect sense that she would just beat up on opponents.
That's funny. So Jarvan was actually released or revealed for Runeterra, and he looks fucking sick. Also, Jarvan the Third is there, so
I also don't
pretty dope
think LeBlanc thinks that big of a deal. I'm looking at it right now, so, like, the main thing is she has quick attack, so, like, she attacks really quick, which I think is fine because she's, like, an assassin. She trades without being traded on. And she levels up by seeing damage, which I guess doesn't fit as well. But, like, when she does level up, she creates mirror images, like, which I'm assuming are just, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. I do agree that, in theory, her level up probably should be tied to, like, some sort of, like, trickery type thing, but it seems fine.
Whatever. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
I don't know what all mechanics are available in Legends of Runeterra, but, like, I feel like the idea of running trickery in a card game is very hard to do in a way that feels fair. The only card game I have, like, extensive experience with really is Yu-Gi-Oh! And, like, the only ways I could think to really do that are, like, if your set cards could change position and, like, the opponent doesn't know.
Yeah.
But you can't really do that in a real-world card game, which obviously Legends of Runeterra is digital, so you could have those switch positions, but I don't think that they're like set spell and trap cards.
What's that? What's that one? Was it Magical Cylinders, the Yu-Gi-Oh card that like you have to pick one of three?
Magical Hats or whatever. I'm not sure.
Is it Magical Hats?
Yeah, the Magic it's Cylinder is the one that reverses the damage on people.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That's the only trickery thing I could think of.
Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh. I don't know. It's fine. Yeah, trickery in an online card game is probably not a good idea, because then it feels really bad of like, oh, you attacked the Roland Blanc, so now you've wasted a turn.
Yeah.
When, you know, there are some decks that ends the game in like five or six turns. So
like, yeah, the only, and the otherwise you'd have to just have it be like an RNG thing, which still feels really bad.
That's
as the player
even worse.
Who's trying to be LeBlanc is like, lol, I tricked you and you accidentally attacked the wrong one. Let's roll a die to find out which one. And like, that doesn't feel like you're this tricky, like I'm planning things from the shadows and manipulating things. It's just like, haha, I made you roll a die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, realistically, she should probably be able to change her attack or block position. Like, and that would be the trickiest thing that she could do. But even that feels really bad. Like, when I feel like Runeterra is a very much like value card game. So that feels really trash.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I don't know. I'm fine with her being a beat stick.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Fine. Yeah. Thanks, Lil Barnabas. Next email is from Mitch. Hi, guys. Sorry for the long email. Mitch.
Hell yeah.
It's okay, bud. We'll forgive you. Next one we got from Gavin, subject of Frog Boy. Hey, Leaguecast, it's me, Gavin, back again. I had a question for the Frog Pope himself, Aiden. I'm a top lane main, and I've always struggled to beat Tom in lane. It's because you don't. I was wondering if you had any counters or tips to help me beat him, considering you're spamming him right now. Also, my answer for the roundtable question would probably be Mac Miller. I know he's probably never played League, but he was my favorite artist before he passed away, and I think it'd be cool to be able to meet him and play with my favorite game with him. Anyways, thanks for the great podcast. As always, have a nice day. Sincerely, Gavin. Now, if you want to know about Tom Kench matchups, Aiden, I think that there might be something that you could refer him to that
soon.
Would help.
Soon, yeah. I'm making a guide. I also have a video. Yeah, I think Colton's referring to like the fact
referring to the Tom Kench matchup tier list video where he talks about which characters dumpster Tom in lane. Characters such as...
Vayne, Lucian, Urgot. Quinn, Darius, Urgot, I put as even, but I think I'm wrong because Urgot got buffed a lot. Turns out the tier list doesn't hold up when characters just get overly buffed. I have a tier list video on our YouTube channel. It's just like... search Leaguecast or Tom tier list. It should be like a pretty high video on like the search page. I did all that stuff. What was his actual question? Was it literally just like
do you have any tips for beating him in lane?
Oh, just to beat Tom Kench in lane, just don't fight him.
Yep.
Literally just don't fight him, but pick a character that's just a better character and don't fight him. Like that's it's so crazy. Like his one of the easiest matchups in the entire game is Nasus, right? I just lost a game to a Nasus. That Nasus went 1-4 in lane, but he just maxed W, like his big slow thingy. Is it E?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of the abilities. The spirit circle thing.
That's his E. Yeah.
Yeah. He just maxed that and then just farmed with that. And then he just sat in a side lane and farmed up, and then he became a better character than me, got a quadra kill in the fight, and we lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just don't fight him. Like the less you feed him, like the it's becoming harder. The higher elo I get to, the more people respect my character and will just be down to give like a 30 CS like deficit to be a better character late game. And that's what you have to do. Like you have to be that player. You have to be fine with going down 30 CS to not like feed 5 kills in lane.
Yep. Yeah.
Make the game
I
go 30
that
minutes.
I played that matchup once so far. I played it as Cho'Gath and it was super free because he didn't kill me at level 2.
Yep.
So. Yeah, don't fight him, because you will become a better character quickly.
Almost every character in the game becomes a better character. It's like the only ones that aren't are like some of the cheese ones too. It's like the Teemos and shit like that, where it's like I'm playing that role. When I'm playing Tom Kench Top and I play versus Teemo, I go, fuck it, I'll give you 30 CS because you're a worse character than I am even.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. Thank you, Gavin. Our last email's from Clogwater. Hello, y'all. I was listening to episode 395 of the Leaguecast podcast TM, and I couldn't help but notice that your description of a theoretical reworked Nocturne bore an uncanny resemblance to the then unreleased Viego. I thought it was very cool to hear you predict a champion. Did I say 395? Is that what you typed?
Yeah, I think you did.
Oh,
yeah,
you said
395.
Sorry. I thought it was very cool to hear you predict a champion who stole others' bodies and abilities well before that champion was ever created. I guess Riot was listening. Maybe you should charge royalties or something. Each of you gets one RP for every Viego purchase. That'd be a lot.
Just to quickly interject there, like, I don't think Riot ever, like, does, like, steal stuff, nor do they fucking listen. Like, we've gotten a couple, like, tweets and stuff, like, for, like, hey, thanks for,
every
like,
once in a while.
Yeah, like, we had some sound designer for Riot, and they were like, hey, thanks for, like, shouting out, like, sound design stuff. Like, we feel like we do a good job on this stuff, right? Shit like that, right? But The only one that I've been like, damn, this is too real to, like, be a thing is the Mundo, when they did the Mundo
thing. The Dr. Mundo cleavers.
We had a meme on the show for like months, yeah, if not like years, where like Mundo should have a rework where he throws his cleaver at people, but then you can rip it out or like slam them around with the cleaver. And then in the dev blog for the Mundo, they're like, hey, we were thinking of things to do with Mundo, and we were thinking about throwing cleavers into people, then ripping them out. And we're like, What the fuck? That's like too close to like being...
So, it's one of those weird things where almost certainly... there are rioters who listen to the show.
Yeah.
And I think there is a good chance that conversations on the show have affected their work in some way.
Yeah.
But the idea of us, like, talking about, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Mundo did a thing where his cleaver got pulled out?
Yeah.
And then them, like, just mentioning it, like, that's not necessarily directly caused. And, like, of course, it's not them stealing it because, like, this conversation of Mundo throwing his cleaver and being pulled out has probably happened independently a thousand times with different groups of League players. Like, a lot of these ideas, while they are, like, unique and novel to our group, it's like, they're nothing that other people couldn't come up with, right? Like, if you asked every single League player to rework Ryze, a lot of them would probably look similar. And there'd be tons that are out there completely, but, like, there'd be so much overlap in a lot of them.
I do remember
they did steal our idea.
I did remember Riot steals all our ideas. I actually think it was a listener idea, though. I feel like it was a listener email, though, saying, like, hey, he should possess people.
I think so, and then I think we kind of ran with that, if I'm not mistaken. Quick question about character interactions. Do they happen anymore? I remember playing a lot of Rengar into Kha'Zix, and there was always a cool Hunt the Hunters minigame where you got extra stuff if one of you could kill the other one. Has that disappeared? Also, is Rengar garbage now? He used to go really even against Kha'Zix, but I feel like Kha is by far the stronger of the two now. Last time I ran, I'm stuck at traffic light questions. I keep hearing y'all talk about the My Shop. Has that been permanently canceled, or is that scheduled to come back at some point? Anyway, I see that the light has turned green way in front of me. Hopefully I get through the intersection this rotation. Wish me luck.
Christ.
CW. Want to
get through this one at a time? Like, really quick?
Yeah. I don't think the character interactions still happen because at least the Rengar Kha'Zix one was too impactful in the game. There might be
a lot of
things. They removed all the rewards. They're all still in the game. Like, the quests.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah, they're all voice lines now or, like, special taunt movement, like, any of that. But there were a lot that used to be in the game that were gameplay-based of, like, Rengar gets bonus stacks, Kha'Zix gets an extra evolution.
Yeah.
Leona takes, like, one less damage, or ninjas have one less health, and all of those things that actually affected the gameplay, even at such a small percentage, they took out because, hey, it'd be nice if your game was fair and balanced if you're trying to make it the premier esport in the entire world, which it kind of is, and pulls in billions of dollars.
Yeah, for sure. My shop comes back every once in a while, usually. I would say, like, probably 3 or 4 times a year, I imagine, with events and stuff. So log in every once in a while and check it out. We probably have one upcoming, if I'm not mistaken. We didn't have one for the lunar event. So we'll probably have one for the next one.
But, like, 6 times every once a year. In a while, it's like pretty...
Oh, is it 6? Okay.
It's like something like... It's like every 2 months, every 3 months sort of thing.
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah. I mean, they're super incentivized to sell you... Like, you still buy RP for those things.
Yeah.
So... They make a lot of money from my shops, guaranteed.
A skin that's 40% off is still 60% of the cost that they get for that JPEG that costs them nothing. Like,
when it would be $0, like, originally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. There are so many skins that I purchased out of my shop because they're on sale that I would never purchase on as full price. Like, most skins I've ever gotten, I'd say, I've gotten just because they were on sale. Whether it was the typical half off that they do a weird rotation of, or my shop... Like, you just buy skins when they're on sale. It's a really easy marketing
I think Aiden is the biggest like consumer of that. Maybe you see big numbers in the percentage.
Yeah,
you're like, all right, I have to buy it.
I'm still trying to fix. I think you can just like convince their system to like give you good deals. So every single time that they give me a deal for a skin that's under 300 RP, I buy it because they must go, hey, he's only buying like stuff that's under 300 RP. So like, I'm hoping that they'll just give me like a full shop of it.
Eventually, you're gonna run out though.
Yeah. But then they'll just give me bigger discounts, and then they'll give me like
True. True.
I did look it up for the in-game mission things. There's four in the game right now. The hunt is on. There's no rewards for those anymore though, because both the rewards are fucking big. Now you just get a victory or defeat like thing when you like do it. Battle of the Frail Yard, which is the Ash Lissandra Sejuani one.
Really cool.
You get a crown if you like kill the other one, which is cool. Mm-hmm. There's the Darkened Scythe, which is literally just Kane evolving. That's like a quest in the game.
Okay.
And then there's the Sentinels of Light one, which is the Senna Lucian Thresh one. And then I think there actually is a reward for this. Senna reward, Thresh gains welcome home. Welcome home. Poor Senna. Nobody escapes the lantern. Thresh recaptures soul and absorbs some of her power, gaining 40 attack damage, 50 attack range, and 30 critical strike.
What?
That's kind of crazy. So that's like insane. And then Lucian's reward, when he finishes it, he gets 40 attack damage, 50 attack range, 30 critical strike.
Oh my god.
I'm assuming that's disabled and ranked, but like that's the only one that has like value, it sounds like now.
That's crazy.
And so that's if Thresh kills Senna?
So it says Senna reward, Thresh gains welcome home. So I'm not sure if that means Thresh is getting that or Senna's getting that.
Yeah, that's weird.
But
yeah, that's odd. I imagine that's probably disabled and competitive.
Yeah.
I hope so.
It probably is. I would assume so.
Dude, can you imagine, jumping back to the start of this email, if Riot actually copied us, how much better the game would be balanced? If they listened to Zed Talks, the game would be better, period.
Well.
Nope, that's the answer, Nick. That's the truth.
Yep. Yes, and if you would like to be better at the game for $1, you can listen to our Zed Talks.
Yep.
That's not how it works, right?
True. Yeah, that's the truth. Is Rengar dog shit right now and Kha'Zix god? I mean, Kha'Zix is like SS+.
Yeah.
I think Rengar is probably like mid-low A.
He's but gotten like a lot better with the Bruiser, Gore Drinker, Conqueror build.
There's just like 10 other junglers ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he only gets to go invisible once and it warns the enemy
team.
Exactly,
exactly.
Whereas Kha'Zix gets to do it multiple times and it gives them no warning. So you've 100 to 0 the AD carry before they know you're there, whereas on Rengar, it announces it when you're 1,000 units away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got less of a surprise than Kha'Zix, which I think is really not what the character's meant to be. And I think at this point, you could honestly consider taking that notification away from Rengar or making it a much closer bubble.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck
that. I think
you
make it a much closer bubble.
Fuck that.
I don't
play against Rengar ever. Fuck that. No.
I get that, but like the amount of other characters in the game that can get on you from further away with less notice is so many, and none of them have kits as dog shit as Rengar's. Like,
I think
like
Rengar should have a chance to break his legs if he jumps from the bush.
Yeah.
Dude, Blue Kane can close on you from the entire map away, and you
he's
have
not
no
balanced
idea.
Either.
He's not.
Fuck Blue Kane.
I still think Red Kane's better. Kane.
I think so too,
it
yeah.
Is.
Okay, that'll do it for this episode of LeeCast. Thank you guys for listening. You can send us an email, mail@leecastpodcast.com. Check out our streams, twitch.tv/bluebasket and /leecastfrost. Tweet at us, @LeeCast on Facebook. We are LeeCast. Check out our website, leecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord, leecastpodcast.com/discord. And finally, support us on Patreon. You can get access to the Zed Talk that we were talking about earlier for just $1 a month. That's nothing. And I'll read your name and struggle through it and probably dox you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. That's patreon.com/leecast. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week for episode 473. Goodbye.
Unbench the catch, unclog the frog.